So we tried this, we tried that, and to get a fan. And anyway, the other thing I had going is this was like Wednesday, and I still didn't have the sermon finished. I kind of knew where God was taking me, but the sermon wasn't done. So I thought, well, I'm going to do my sermon. I'll have some time down at the apartment. And Donna and Dana went and did some stuff at the store, and I kind of went into the living room of the apartment and was working on my sermon. Well, I got drawn to this little box that she has. It's about like this and about like this, and it's flat on the front, and you push a button on a remote, and it comes up, and there's the Olympics, okay? And so the Olympics are on, and I figured, well, I can work on my message and do the Olympics too, so I can catch, you know, the exciting things going on. And so Dana and Donna got back, and they saw me in there with the Olympics on, and I'm working on the sermon. And Dana says, "Dad, I know exactly what you've got written in your sermon." And I said, "What was that, Dana?" And she says, "Well, it's probably going to go like this. And David prayed before the Lord, and he sought the Lord's guidance, and he said, 'Go Team USA!'" And you're not going to hear that. Actually, today, if I asked you about your Christian life, is it a playground or is it a battlefield? Now, I want you to think carefully about that, and I'm not going to have anybody call out their answer, but I want you to think about it. Your walk with God, is it a playground or is it a battlefield? And while we're thinking about this, if you would, take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 10, and I love this passage. Actually, it's one of my favorite passages in Scripture because I love the instructions that are given. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place." I love that passage. That's kind of our marching orders. That's kind of this go to battle type thing. I read a story this week, and the story went like this. It seemed, I'll just read it the way it did. It said, there used to be this bully who would demand my lunch money every day. Since I was smaller, I would give it to him. Then I decided to fight back. I started taking karate lessons, but the instructor wanted $5 a lesson. That was a lot of money. I found that it was cheaper to pay the bully, so I gave up karate. Well, listen, too many Christians believe it is easier to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him. And I want to add that many Christians don't realize that they really are living on a battlefield and we're not on a playground. Do you guys remember the hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers"? Some of you do, some of you never heard it. The words went like this: "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity." I love that. One thing we know for sure, we are soldiers. And we're soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been called to. The enemy, though, The enemy comes against us, and there's a threefold assault that is coming against us as Christians. First, we have the world, and we're going to talk about these things. Then we have the flesh, and then we have Satan himself, the devil. We have our own flesh, folks, that is wanting to pull us back into our old ways. And I don't know about you, but I get tired of it sometimes because I remember what it was before Christ, and I remember what it's like living with Christ and trying to live for Christ today. And where I was before Christ wasn't a pretty place. And I didn't enjoy it. And when I think back at it, I still have those regrets. But the old self keeps trying to pull me that direction. And that's what Satan does to you. He's battling there. He's battling with that flesh that's in you, saying, I want the old life back. No, I don't. But we're deceived sometimes into believing it'd be a little more fun if we'd give in. We have the world trying to drag us back, and we're going to talk about that. And when I talk about it, it's not the world like we see on a map. It's the world and its teachings. And then we have the devil. And the devil is making sure that all of this goes according to his plan, the way he wants it to. It's incredible. Our flesh, our old nature fights against the Spirit of God, against the things of God in life. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you want. There's a battle there between the flesh and what you shouldn't do and what you should do. And this carnal shell that gets exhausted and gets sick, and the battle, we face fears and insecurities, and sometimes it lacks the physical strength to go on, and the flesh becomes weak. And the flesh becomes an anchor dragging us down because Satan keeps reminding us and keeps trying to hold us in the past. You know, I know something about some of you today. I know something about all of you today, but I know something about some of you today. And if that's a riddle, then you figure it out. But some of you today didn't want to come to church. Some of you woke up and you thought about it, and the bed felt pretty good, and you actually considered skipping out. Now, as I look around, there's some that gave into that and said, yep, I think I can miss this week. Some of you this week didn't feel like reading your Bible, so it sat on the shelf as a paperweight. Some of you didn't feel like praying, just didn't have the time to do it. Some of you this week didn't feel like forgiving because it might mean you have to do something different. Romans 8, 22 and 23 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of your body. But the fight rages. It's not your flesh, it's the world system. And we're fighting against our old nature, and we're fighting against this world. And it's not a physical globe, but it's this society, the system that's separated from God. The world system and all its trappings are our enemies. I do not, and I'm going to share this, and you've heard me say this before, I don't do political sermons. I'm not going to stand here and tell you who to vote for or who not to vote for. But I will share this with you. As Christians, you need to stand for what is right. And there's only one right, and that's God. Anything that is contrary to what God says is right is wrong. It's that simple. So when you look at the candidates, whatever they're running for, take a look and see where are they when it comes to God. And then you vote accordingly. Too many Christians, when it comes to this voting game, think I have to be this party or that party, and they get all messed up in it, and Christians lose in the end. This world system is corrupt, and it pulls us away from what God wants us to be. It's a very big, a very large distracting temptation. We're bombarded with pictures and products. There are advertisements and enticements. No rules. Anything goes. Satisfy yourself. And don't worry about the consequences. And you know what? This world system makes it look so good. It makes it look so appetizing. And so we see these commercials on TV, and when we see these commercials on TV and they come out and they have all these different kind of alcohol, and everybody kind of learns what this is or something, you know, the commercials that they do, and they talk about alcohol. Thank you, Gene. He's standing back there helping me. But you know what they don't show you in those commercials? They show how much fun it is. And those commercials with all the alcohol and stuff and talking about that. And they don't show you the thousands of families that are affected by drunk drivers. They don't show you the thousands upon thousands of families that are impacted by alcoholics. They don't show you that 16, 17-year-old child that has seen mom and dad do it, so they think they can do it, and they go out and get drunk and wrap a car around a tree. They don't show you that because that's not fun. So let's do these commercials and let's lift alcohol up so everybody thinks that's really fun and that's what we should do. And everybody, nonsense. Oh, the world system. Free sex. Oh, there's the word we don't talk about in church, isn't it? The world system says it's okay. Have sex with anyone you want. They don't show all the babies being aborted. They don't show the guilt. They don't show the pain. They don't show the 40 new STDs that come out each year. They don't even mention AIDS. I know we forget that this world is teaching us things all the time. The world's novels, the world's TV shows, soap operas, world's movies, world's music, the world's stuff. And they're looking for fresh new students all the time. If we're not battling with our flesh or the world, well, there's the puppet master. You know, puppet master, he pulls all the strings. And Satan himself is pulling all the strings. He's the accuser of the brethren, the tempter. He's the destroyer. And it's amazing, many people don't believe in Satan. You mean you don't believe in that red-suited, horn-headed little creature? Some artist came up with a great one on that. According to a Gallup poll a few years ago, 86% of Americans believed that there is a God. And some of the polls actually had it as high as 95% of Americans believing there is a God, but only 63% of the Americans believe there's a devil. We always want to think of the good. We think of God, but we don't want to think of the devil. And you know what? Satan likes it that way. He likes it that way. And all you have to do is watch the news on any given evening and count the number of depraved, horrible, and sickening things that man will do to fellow man. There are acts among humans that are so evil that they span beyond the ability of man to understand. Gross, sick things, evil things. A man walks into a theater and he pulls a gun out and he starts shooting innocent people. Men take a plane and this plane is fully loaded and they fly it into the World Trade Center, and that's demonic. Hitler trying to destroy an entire race of people, that's demonic. Kidnappers, rapists, child porn, and all of that is straight from the pits of hell. Folks, yes, there is a devil. And he is determined to destroy whoever he can. He will fight, he will gnaw, he will scratch, he'll pull out all the stops in trying to keep you from growing spiritually. Now, you've probably heard it said that God loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. You want to know something? That's true. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God loves you just the way you are. And he has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. And that should be encouraging. But at the same time, Satan hates you. He despises you and has a horrible plan for your life. He wants to distract, disrupt, and ultimately destroy you. He wants you as a Christian to be weak and to be feeble, to be ineffective. He doesn't want you to rely on Jesus or in church or reading your Bible or reaching others with the gospel. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants your marriage ruined. He wants your kids shattered. And he'll take as miserable and rough a system as he can to get you there. He will bring you to a point of depression and celebrate. Anything and everything, as long as you're not growing strong spiritually. Folks, it's true. We are engaged in a spiritual war. And it's a serious battle. You know, think back to before you were a Christian. You know what? Back before you were a Christian, guess what? Satan wasn't really opposed to you. He wasn't. He already had you. You were no threat to him. You were no danger to his plans. Everything was working out the way he wanted it to. Before you were a Christian, Satan kind of left you alone, really. But then you chose sides. And you committed your life to Jesus Christ. And you know, on that day, you became a part of the family of God. And by doing that, you declared war. You declared war. On that day, you enlisted or were enlisted as a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. Battle began. Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The spiritual war that we're involved in, folks, that's a good fight. It's a great fight. It's worth every ounce of energy that you have to muster up. Why? Because salvation of souls is at stake. That's what we're battling for. We're not battling for a little piece of ground or a hill or anything like that. We're talking about the souls of people. That's the battle. And Satan does not want us to win. But you know what? Despite his attacks, people are still being saved. It's awesome. Our passage in verse 10 said, "Be strong, finally be strong in the Lord." And Paul winds down his letter. He exhorts us, encourages us, and he commands us as believers to be strong in the Lord. Most importantly, folks, here's what you must do. Don't be strong in your opinions. Don't be strong in your experiences. Don't be strong in your bank account or your career or your knowledge. Be strong in the Lord. All of that other stuff is going to pass away. Be strong in the Lord. if you have your Bibles and want to look, take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Take that part of your Bible, circle it, highlight it, underline it, whatever you need to do, so that at any time you can come to that passage and you know what God is telling you to do. To trust Him, to be encouraged in Him, to find strength in Him. Only in the power of the Lord and His might can we be victorious and overcome Satan's attacks. Zechariah 4:6. "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" It's by the Spirit of God that the battle is fought and that we win. Think back for a minute to the Old Testament, to Joshua. 40 years, people have been wandering in the wilderness and wandering and wandering and waiting. And Moses has died and the Israelites are ready to move into the promised land. And finally, they would walk into it. There's that land that God had promised them. But at the same time, as they are preparing to go into the promised land, they hear about these fierce and mighty people and these giants and these armies, and they got chariots and enemies and these wild cities. "God, you sure that's where you want us to go?" And God told Joshua 3 times, "Be strong and of good courage." He said, "Be strong, I've gone before you. Be strong, I am with you. Be strong. Every place your foot touches is yours." These are great words to hold on to, folks, as you enter the battle. Be strong. I've gone before you. I've prepared the way. Be strong. I am with you. I'm not going to send you anywhere by yourself, but I will be there. I'm a part of you, and I will go with you. Be strong, because every place you touch, I've already given to you. Be strong. On down, Joshua 1:7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Be strong. Be strong so you can obey all the words of the Lord. And it's not easy to obey. Especially as all the forces of your flesh, all the temptations of this world, and all the accusations of the enemy are coming hard on you. People will put you down. They will bash you. They will make fun of you. They will try to give you a hard time because of your stand for the Lord. And by the way, you take a stand for the Lord, and everybody's looking at you. And the thought goes like this: you say you're a Christian, so that's what it means to be a Christian? I don't want any part of that. I got enough of that going on in the world around me. We are to be different. We are set aside by Jesus Christ to be His children, to be His servants, to live the life that Christ wants us to live. And we're not to walk around all the time blowing our horns and shaking our fist and calling people names and staring at them and glaring at them and doing all this stuff, because that's not what a Christian is designed to do. Jesus, when He was on that cross, He didn't glare at anybody. He didn't puff up like a bullfrog. I've been told that's what I do when I get mad. But as He's on that cross, He looked at His accusers. And He looked at those around Him. And He said, "Father, forgive them." Wow. That's what we're supposed to be. Are we going to get hurt in life? Yes. But how are we going to respond to that? Are we going to respond as a Christian, or are we going to respond the way the world wants us to respond? And all too often, it's let's do what the world says. Be strong so you can obey all the words of the Lord. Anytime you decide that you want to take a stand for Jesus and want to grow in Him, you have to grow closer to Him. And when that happens, you can expect an all-out assault in your life. It just goes with the territory. But consider this, and I really want you to hold on to this, folks. Heavy spiritual warfare and spiritual attacks are signs that you're on the right track. Okay? That's a sign that you're doing what you should be doing, that you're doing what Satan doesn't want you to do. You're on the right track. Listen, if you were a sideline Christian, not really interested in spiritual things, then you're right where Satan wants you. You're right where he wants you. And he won't hassle with you too much. He won't bother you. Oh, but once you take a stand to obey, then he'll unleash a full frontal assault upon your life. And so Paul says, be strong in the power of his might. Verse 11 says, be covered. Put on the full armor of God. Any good soldier will tell you that it's essential to have the right battle gear. You have the wrong gear, and you're destined for failure. Remember, David is getting ready to go into battle against this great big giant called Goliath. And the king comes to David, and here's little old David, and says, here, David, here's my armor. You put it on, so when you go in the battle, you got this armor on, and you got this big shield. And David was so little and ruddy and puny and whatever that he couldn't hardly lift the stuff, let alone walk in it. And he said, no, I can't use this. But he says, I go in the power of God. He put on the full armor. And we know the story. He walked down and he destroyed the giant. Paul is saying, not only is our strength from the Lord, but so are our strategies and our equipment. And we can't go out in a battlefield thinking we can win this thing on our own, folks. On our own might or on our own methods. Why? Because the enemy, I'm going to be honest with you, the enemy's stronger than us. He's not only stronger, he's smarter. And Satan has his methods and his plots and his schemes, and he knows how to get to you. He knows how to come in the back door and how to attack. Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life and your family. I find that there are basically two prevailing thoughts when it comes to the devil as far as Christians go. Number one, there are those Christians that underestimate him. They think that he's not all that powerful or pervasive, and they fall right into his traps. Oh, if I watch that movie, it won't hurt me. That drink won't kill me. It's not a big deal, and of course, if I want to judge other people, that's not a big thing. Or you'll hear a person take on the devil like he's some guy that you can fight on the street. Those are the ones I really like. You know, come on, devil, I rebuke you, I bind you, I throw you into the pit of hell. Come on, put up your dukes. I was like, put up your dukes, come on, put up your dukes, come on. And they think they can whip him. They underestimate that power that he has. The devil is no cartoon character, and he's powerful, he's intelligent, and he knows how to get to us. He is the master deceiver, and many have fallen to the schemes and his devices. On the other hand, there's those Christians that overestimate him, that give him more than what they should. Even though he is powerful, Satan is not all-powerful. Even though he is cunning, he is not all-knowing. As a matter of fact, he's no match to equal to Jesus Christ. He wants us to think he is, and he tries to fool us that way, but it's not so. Stand strong in the Lord and put on the full armor. Whatever battle you're in, whatever temptation you face, God's going to give you the ability to withstand it and to overcome it. Now, I hear so many Christians saying that the temptation was simply too much. It was too hard. So I just gave in. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't stand to the pressure. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand under the pressure." God knows exactly what your breaking point is. And He always provides the way of escape. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the full armor of the Lord. And you can see how important it is to be connected to Jesus Christ, to be continually living in communion and closeness to Him. This is an area where many Christians will fall. That's not abiding in Christ. When are you the very strongest in your Christian walk? That's when you're the closest to Him, right? It's true. And how do we stay close to Him? We stay close to Him by reading His Word, by praying, and by depending on Him. And when you're at the end of yourself, realizing that you can't handle things on your own, when we are the weakest, when we are out on our own trying to accomplish things in our own strength and power, you better make sure you got that armor on and don't leave any piece off. Be strong, be covered, and be aware. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The word wrestle actually means hand-to-hand combat. And in the Greek games, if somebody lost a wrestling match, they would actually have their eyes gouged out. Paul is definitely describing here a very serious fight. And it's interesting who we're fighting, not other people. Anytime I'm striving against people, struggling with others, I'm fighting the wrong battle. And if you're fighting your boss or arguing with your wife or battling with your husband, struggling with your kids, not getting along with your brothers and sisters in the church, you're fighting the wrong people. It's the wrong battle. And you got to get it right with God, because the heart condition you have in those situations is your problem. And it's easy to point fingers and blame your action on what everybody else does, but that doesn't work. Your problem is with God, and it's a heart condition that says, I'm not willing to listen to God and understand this whole forgiveness thing. I'm not willing to be a part of what God wants me to do. I'm not willing to fight the good fight and fight the battle that I should fight. Folks, if you're fighting against people, you're fighting the wrong battle. Don't get sidetracked with fighting against people. Our fight is against a well-organized and systematic hordes of demons. Theologians point out that Paul is describing and describes the different orders and rankings of the demonic realm. Satan has his privates. Satan has his corporals and he has his sergeants. Realize this, folks. He can only be one place at a time. We forget that. Satan can only be one place at a time. And if he's standing here, he can't be somewhere else. He doesn't have that ability. So he uses these demonic forces and these evil beings that come and infiltrate our lives. These spiritual forces, before you know it, there's road rage and spiritual disaster. Now our fight is against that well-organized deceiver. There is a difference in those that attack us, the demons of Satan, and what they can do in our lives. But the encouragement is this: be strong. Be covered. And be aware. You're in a battle. And we're in this battle till that day we stand before God in heaven. The battle is to be won. And God is there to lead us through it and to help us win. But how much are you willing to let go of in your life so that you can have more of God in your life and so that you can allow Him to lead you into battle? When do we stop making excuses? And when do we start obeying? When do we stop saying, God, I don't care what you say, I'm doing it my way? When do we stop? How long do we have? I've run into people that have been bitter and angry and walked in darkness for many, many years and still claim to be Christians, but they didn't know what they were doing was totally against the plan God had for their life. How many years do we have to get it right? How many? And folks, a great, great big part of getting it right is right here. And it's loving, and it's embracing, and it's encouraging, and it's studying together, and praying together. That's what we need to be doing if we're to win the battle. You have fought the good fight. You have run the good race. And the victory is yours. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to just hear God say that? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, even now, Father, as we pray, there are spiritual battles taking place in heavenly realms. Even now, Father, as we bow our heads and we have heard this message and we have listened to your word, Father, we know that Satan's forces are trying to enter the hearts and the minds and the souls of those that are here, and that your angels are there and they're doing battle for us. And we know, Father, that the victory is yours, but we have to accept it. And right now, Lord, anyone sitting in this room, if they don't feel it, if they don't know it, if they're not assured of the fact that you're there doing battle for them, touch their hearts right now, Father. Move them in a powerful way that only you can do. Allow the Holy Spirit to just fill them with Himself, and that they would know that you're here and that the battles they've been fighting are battles against evil, against Satan, and that the victory comes from Jesus Christ. We battle not, Father, against flesh and blood, but against those rulers, those authorities, those powers of darkness that come against us. And the victory is yours. Father, this church, this congregation, these believers gathered here, I lift them up to you that they would walk hard and move forward as soldiers for Jesus Christ. That if they haven't jumped into the battle, that they would jump in and realize there's a battle to be fought. And Father, we know that it's a battle for souls. It's a battle for people who are dying and going to hell without Jesus. And Father, we just ask that we would be bold enough to take on that challenge. I pray, Father, that we would not be cowards and just hide away. That we wouldn't take and hide that light of Jesus Christ so that others can't see it, but that we would just always, always be there presenting you. Father, if there are those here and they've missed this, convict them. Father, pour yourself into them with such heavy conviction that they can't hardly breathe, because they know something's wrong in their life and they need you. Lord, we know how much you love us. We know how much you care. I just pray that we would share that with all. And we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.